Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Moudou. Welcome to Health Chat. August 28th to September 2nd is World Water Week. Observers say 2016 is a critical year for addressing the role of water in the post-2015 development agenda. The UN's Sustainable Development Goal 6 calls for universal and equitable access to safe and affordable drinking water by 2030. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says worldwide, 780 million people lack access to an improved water source, unsafe drinking water, inadequate availability of water for hygiene, and lack of access to sanitation together contribute to about 88% of deaths from diarrheal diseases. And water is often linked to sanitation when we look at health issues. And in a new report entitled The True Cost of Poor Sanitation, experts say the significant economic cost linked to poor sanitation and consequences. They look at the significant economic cost linked to poor sanitation and consequences of that. The report developed by the Japanese organization LIXIL Group Corporation in partnership with Oxford Economics and WaterAid says poor sanitation costs global economy a whopping $223 billion in 2015 and has increased by 22% since 2010. We will discuss the topic on today's show, and joining us via phone from the Swedish capital of Stockholm is Jim McHale, Vice President and General Manager and Head of the SATO Project, a special project that is run by LIXIL. Mr. McHale, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Great. Also joining us via phone from Madrid, Spain, is Dr. Martin Mengel, Program Leader of Enteric Diseases with Agence de Médecine Préventive and Project Director of the African Cholera Surveillance Network, AFRICOL. Dr. Mengel, welcome to the show.
Hello, Lino. Thank you for having me on the show.
Great. Let me remind our listeners that if you would like to ask questions, you can email us at healthchat@voanews.com. And we will discuss water and sanitation in a moment. But first, Voice of America reporter Joe DiCapua takes a look at World Water Week conference in Stockholm.
The Stockholm International Water Institute is hosting the summit, calling 2016 a critical year for addressing the role of water in development. The meeting follows the adoption of the UN Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs, and the historic Paris Climate Change Agreement. Anton Earle is director of the Institute's Africa Regional Center, based in Pretoria, South Africa.
All other efforts to promote development would really come to nothing if we aren't supplying the water that is needed. I mean, any development intervention you can think of, whether it's in healthcare, in education, in agriculture.
He explains why it's difficult to provide children with a good education without clean water.
You have schools being built across Africa where governments are really getting to grips with the education backlog. And then these schools not having a secure water supply. And because they don't have a secure water supply, they very frequently don't have adequate sanitation. The net result is that especially girls not going to school because of this.
Despite the strong link between clean water and development, making the issue a priority at international climate talks has been difficult.
Essentially, climate change is all caused by changes in the atmosphere of the planet. We know that, you know, changes in the makeup of carbon, methane, other greenhouse gases that are impacting the atmosphere. So that's well known. But the way that climate change will impact the world will, of course, be through water. The flow of water through the atmosphere, the increase in evaporation, the changes in hydrology, changes in runoff that will occur.
The Stockholm International Water Institute official says it's easier to create business models for the energy and telecommunication industries than it is for water.
Water is different. You know, water's got this connotation of being a human right. As soon as you start moving too strongly towards private sector engagement and the implication that a private company might make profit from supplying water, it becomes very politically contentious. There's no easy answer to this, and you always have to be looking at the issues around access and equity. So that could be part of the problem.
Working in Africa, Earle has found the continent has its own particular challenges in using water for development. He says it's not doing what it needs to do, and that is invest about $9 billion a year in water infrastructure. This includes dams, urban water systems, water treatment, and sanitation systems.
So this is a huge backlog, larger than any other region in the world. In many other parts of the world, the issue is more around how do you more effectively manage the infrastructure that exists today. In Africa, yes, that is part of the equation. However, you also have a really big backlog just in new infrastructure that does need to be built.
Also, he says computer models show large parts of Africa will be among the hardest hit by climate change. In other words, more frequent and more severe droughts and floods.
Affecting communities, but also affecting cities and the ability of cities to provide secure water services to their residents. And of course, as we know, Africa is one of the fastest urbanizing parts of the world today. Some of the most rapidly growing cities in the world are located on the African continent.
World Water Week organizers say the meeting aims to support SDG number 8, which is to promote sustained, inclusive, and sustainable growth, full and productive employment, and decent work for all. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
Again, Mr. McHale and Dr. Mengel, thank you for joining us on Health Chat. Let me start with you, Mr. McHale. We heard this report on the conference, but also looking at a big picture in terms of issues around water and sanitation. First of all, you are attending the conference. You are presently there in Stockholm. What do you see as some of the highlights of the conference, at least to you so far?
Well, it's been a fantastic conference, as it usually is. This conference just brings together so many of the real thinkers and players in the fields of water and sanitation. So just to have the opportunity to be around and come up with different ideas, to collaborate with a group of people with this much passion and talent on a subject, is a fantastic opportunity.
Great. And Dr. Mengel, you obviously are in Spain, so not attending the conference, but what is your take on why such a week is important? We know that water is the source of life, as some people say, but if you can give us a medical twist to this, please.
Yes, well, you say water is the source of life and is the basis for all human well-being. Either directly or indirectly, and the absence of it, the absence of safe water and the presence of contaminated water, for example, is responsible for a large part of diseases, a group that is nominated waterborne diseases, precisely because of this mechanism of transmission. And today, this group of diseases is extremely important. In fact, diarrheal diseases are responsible for 1 in 10 deaths. 11% of deaths in children under 5, which is more than malaria, HIV, AIDS, and measles together. So the absence of water leads to a huge public health problem.
That's interesting to know that it's more than malaria, HIV, AIDS, and other diseases combined, the type of negative impact that it's having on children. Now, Mr. McHale, we hear water and sanitation go together when we are addressing health issues or health problems. And in a report that was released recently by the Lixil Group Corporation, which is a corporation in which you operate through the SATO project, there was a report. The report is saying that there is an increase of 22% in terms of the cost of global economic the cost that poor sanitation is having on the global economy. Can you tell us some of the highlights of this report? It's really surprising to see how much it cost the world poor sanitation.
Yes, Leonard, it is surprising. Previous reports have been done, and these numbers are a little bit... it's in line with the numbers in previous reports that the World Health Organization and World Bank had done. But the total number globally is about $223 billion that is lost in global economies due to all the issues that arise from poor sanitation. So the major contributor to that is actually deaths, the premature deaths and the lost wages that families never receive because the family member is unfortunately gone. There's impacts on productivity, healthcare costs. So it all adds up globally to about $223 billion. And another really interesting thing in the findings is just how big the impact is in India. Nearly half of that total economic impact is in India.
Wow, that's incredible. And Dr. Mengel, when we look at where we come from in terms of the Millennium Development Goals, now that we are in the SDGs phase, which is the Sustainable Development Goal, and then we see a report like that that tells us that there has been an increase in the past 5 years in water and sanitation, in poor sanitation and cost. What do you make of this? To what do we attribute this increase? I mean, when we know that the MDGs were there to address some challenges such as these, but why were there this increase? Can you comment on that?
Well, the Millennium Development Goals are an agenda. In fact, the first global agenda to measure and achieve development on a global scale. And I mean, they were based on data and then on assessment of the global situation, which dates back to, I think, around 1990, or data even from the mid-1980s. So it's an estimate of what could have been achieved in an ideal realistic time frame, and in some regions and in many countries, the progress was, close to what has been set out as a goal. But for example, in sub-Saharan Africa, the goal set for 2015 in the Millennium Development Goals for improving the access to safe water was failed by, I think, 20 or 30% of what had been set out. So, I mean, we have to keep in mind that only to keep the current level, given the population growth, countries will have to increase their investment year by year, only to cover the growth of cities and to keep up with the growing population and the population movements, as my colleague has described. So I can cite the example of one of the countries where we operate, which is Guinea-Conakry, and where just to cover the capital city, I think a 200-fold increase in expenditure, so around about $38 million, I think, in addition, would have to be invested only to cover that capital city. And so it's obvious that the current situation almost brings an insurmountable problem for many of the countries in sub-Saharan Africa, at least.
Okay. And Mr. Mackell, let me have your take in terms of what the report says. To give us an idea of some of the reasons that the report was able to identify.
Some of the reasons for the economic impact?
For the increase.
Oh, for the increase.
Yes.
The 20% increase since 2010, that was largely driven by the increased in healthcare costs over that time period. Most of the increase actually came from Asia and Africa, and healthcare costs in that area, like the rest of the world, have increased over that 5-year time period. And the other big factor is just economic growth in general. When economies grow, these deaths and productivity losses have a bigger impact on the economy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Dr. Mengel, we know that diseases like cholera are a consequence to some extent, of lack of sanitation and clean water. Can you tell us about perhaps other diseases, waterborne diseases that you observe in sub-Saharan Africa that are very common with this issue?
Yes, in fact, we call diseases like cholera indicator diseases because their presence means that there is no safe water to prevent them from spreading. So wherever there is cholera, you could say that the water problem is amongst the most severe on the planet. But water transmits many other diseases too, and I'm thinking of diarrheal diseases like shigellosis, which is bloody diarrhea, or amoebiosis caused by amoeba, and other such parasites, but also typhoid fever, for example, which is ingested with contaminated water, and another group of diseases which is called neglected tropical diseases, mm-hmm. And they're in fact diseases caused by parasites that cause, for example, river blindness or fevers, so-called snail fever, or filariasis, which causes swelling of the limbs. And all of these are very devastating diseases for the affected communities. And I think there is a rough estimate of around 26 million infections due to river blindness alone every year. Mm-hmm. And so this is really a huge problem, and that this group of diseases has earned or gotten the attribute neglected only means that it doesn't mean that it's negligible in size, but really that our focus is much more on other issues than on supplying the most basic needs and the most basic rights, of which the one key one is, I think, health, mm-hmm. Which is why it has a sustainable development goal number 3, for example. Mm-hmm. We're just, I think, the globe is not yet, or the global community is not yet focused on these issues, and it's really putting a determined effort in eradicating these diseases, which, for example, are treatable and preventable, for which safe water is the key.
That's very interesting. And Mr. McHale, when we look at solutions, right, we talked about problem, but we know some of the solutions. We know that clean water is evidently very important to prevent diseases. We know that, you know, there are ways to have clean waters. These are already established. But what is causing this perhaps lack of, maybe not lack, but at least what is causing this problem to be still so critical in when we know that some of these solutions are so basic? Can you go take us through some of the cost-effective solutions that could be implemented?
Sure. So first, for some of your listeners who might not be aware, Lixil Corporation is the world's largest manufacturer of toilets, and the brands that we use that people might be more familiar with are American Standard and Groe and Enax. And really, the solution here is toilets, right? People in these areas need toilets because the lack of toilets is what spreads the disease. It's what contaminates the water. There needs to be a safe way to dispose of the human waste. And the problem is so complex globally that there really is no one perfect solution right now for every different area of the world. Mm-hmm. In many areas of the world, people in rural areas will build pit latrines of different varieties. So this is just essentially a hole in the ground covered with some kind of slab. It could be a concrete slab. Sometimes it's just wood and mud, with a central hole left as sort of a drop hole, and it's used as a toilet. that's not perfect, but it's much better sanitation than defecating out in the open. And we think of it as a sanitation ladder that, and try to move people from open defecation to at least using a fixed point of defecation to then using some kind of entry latrine, then moving up to something that would actually be considered a sanitary latrine, which has all the functions of a modern toilet in that it has some kind of seal that will, like a trap or some kind of water seal to seal the waste down into the pit once it enters and keep the insects from contacting the waste. Those flying insects are a main route of transmission of these diseases.
Okay.
At Lixil, we have three different sanitation solutions that we are working on to help the world with this problem. One of them is the Sato series of products. These are very inexpensive sort of latrine pans or stools that can be used to build a healthier toilet. They automatically seal. And together, we've had more than a million of them in use now worldwide in only about 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Dr. Mangal, what can you share in terms of simple solutions? The report talked about the report identified three priority areas for solutions, at least in terms of making the steps in the right direction. Political will and action is one of them. Innovative solutions, cross-sector collaboration. What is your comment in terms of how we address this issue of water and sanitation?
Yes. You asked me for simple solutions. I'm not sure I would have those. I think if it were simple, we would have much less of a problem already today.
That's right.
But I would like to rebound on something that Mr. McHale said, and that is there is no one solution. As I mentioned at the example of Guinea-Conakry and many other countries in the same situation, the problem is quite overburdening. It's very large, and eventually the international community, donors, development agencies, regional organizations, affected countries across borders will have to come together and really in a concerted effort supply sanitation and safe water for everyone, and it will include technological innovations, as Ms. McHale stated, but also on the health related to health or related to the diarrheal diseases as such. For the time being, since it will probably take decades or even generations to supply safe water and sanitation across the globe, really to all remote areas and all the populations that have a right to have this, a disease-specific solution might help reduce a lot of the burden. And there is, for example, the positive showcase of guinea worm disease, which is a parasitic disease also transmitted through water. That is on the bridge of eradication, the first parasitic disease about to be eradicated. And we hope to have at least great strides in the same direction for cholera. There is a new cholera vaccine available, and there are new global mechanisms through Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, through the Global Task Force for Cholera Control at the WHO that are helping to distribute and make cholera vaccine accessible to all countries where it is needed in Africa. And its follow-up project, Vaxicol, are actually trying to provide guidance on where in Africa it is most needed, as the vaccine is a limited resource and needs to be supplied with great possible efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And other such approaches, for example, new vaccines in development for enterotoxic E. coli bacteria, for Shigella bacteria, are under development, or the great success story of rotavirus vaccine, one of the major childhood killers only 20 years ago, has been reduced in significantly, I think mortality up to 80% in the countries where it's been used. So there are some short-term patches, I think, where we can make great public health impact. One is, as I mentioned, health-related, directly impeding certain diarrheal diseases. Others are in supplying low-cost solutions for remote areas where sanitation is a big problem. Actually, open defecation, for example, where people do not even have a hole, as Mr. McHale described, and the feces directly contaminates drinking water sources. You mentioned in your broadcast earlier on the conference that water sources are becoming more scarce, more endangered. Water supply globally is endangered. So I think we'll have to work on all of those ends to really make a lasting difference.
Okay. Let's talk about one specific suggestions in the report in terms of solution. One of them was about political will and action. The lack of political will has been mentioned as one of the problems that is hindering progress. And the report says governments should commit to a national strategy on sanitation to meet the targets set out in the SDGs. Now, when we look at many of the countries that are being faced with water and sanitation challenges, they are underdeveloped countries, they are developing countries. And sometimes government have faced, at least from some of the comments that we receive, is they are faced with many challenges that require funding, and they have to set the priorities. Now, how do we make the case to governments to increase funding in water and sanitation, regardless of whatever other challenges that they are confronted with? Mr. McHale, let me start with you, please.
Sure. Well, reports that quantify the economic impact, like the one that we just released, will help to make the case that governments care about their own economies and helping them understand the impact that sanitation has, not just on the people, but on the economy of their country, will help to move things along. And there are some countries that clearly understand the importance of the issue. I mean, India is a prime example with Prime Minister Modi's Swachh Bharat mission, where he has committed the country to end open defecation by the year 2019, and he's committing $29 billion to that effort. So he's making a big deal out of it in India, and that will also help other countries to hopefully follow his example.
Okay, and before we wrap up, let me have the final word, maybe 30 seconds from each of you. And Mr. McHale, perhaps you can comment on other findings that were unexpected or maybe surprising in the report, quickly.
As I said before, I think the most surprising result was just how big the impact is there in India. Now, it's because there's so many people and they're so densely populated that the impacts of poor sanitation have more of an impact. They have more of an effect. You have a higher probability of infecting somebody else by not using a toilet when you're so densely packed.
Okay. And Dr. Mengel, in 30 seconds, just two or three steps to improve water and sanitation in, globally.
Well, I would second what was said. I mean, every dollar invested in safe water and sanitation diarrhea prevention yields $25 return on investment, according to the Global Burden of Disease study. I think that's the best investment that one can make. For Africa, we try to assess this, and I can invite everyone at africa.org to look at diarrheal disease surveillance on our site in more detail and see where these real hotspots, the real suffering countries are.
Okay.
Where this investment would yield even more.
We have to leave it there. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Health Chat. Mr. Jim McHale and Dr. Martin Mengel, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that's all we have for you today. Thank you so much to our listeners for joining us on the program. My name is Lino Mudu, joining in Washington, D.C., with producer Jackson Vongani and our reporter, Sanusi Diallo, who is not here today. But we thank you for joining us. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.